Do pray that everybody's doing well. Pastor asked me last week if I would be able to fill the pulpit tonight, and knowing that I had graduation going on, kindergarten graduation, awards, getting through this last week of school, and I said, of course. I love filling the pulpit. It's always an honor to be here, and I thank Pastor for allowing me this opportunity. Let me share today in chapel. I had chapel, final chapel today, but we didn't have necessarily a message. I allowed a moment of testimony from some of the students and praise and thanks. And I tell you, there were times that I don't think there was a dry eye in the auditorium listening to some of these testimonies. It was, we had some littles on all the way up to some high school students share some testimonies today, and it was a real blessing. Johnny, I made Johnny stand up. He had told me 2 weeks ago, I'm going to give a testimony. Then today he goes, I'm scared. I said, well, suck it up, Buttercup. That's what I told him. You know, I mean, you came and talked to him. I mean, her laugh. You're talking to a Marine. You just got to learn to, you know, kind of suck it up. Sometimes at chapel I share. See, I have a friend named Captain Obvious. Have I ever mentioned Captain Obvious when I spoke? He sends me little tips. And so let me share what I received today. My first one today, I got today, it says, winners win because they don't lose. And losers, they lose because they're not winning. So the key to success is simply to succeed. Amen? Isn't that a good one? Let's see what else we got here today. Hey, I never call y'all old, but y'all are mature. So, okay. And if you're tired, go to sleep. Okay. If you sleep and you are still tired, then sleep more. And if you've slept enough and you are still tired, well, you may need more sleep. Okay. Captain Obvious is very smart. He really is. Let's see what else does he have for us. Hey, you know what? The future has not happened yet. And we know this because if it had happened, it would now be the past. And it isn't, so it hasn't. Amen. What I shared in chapel today, I didn't have a traditional message, but I do the Captain Obvious. I kind of get these and I laugh at them. They kind of make my day. It's okay to smile and laugh. But I do oftentimes get some more serious quotes or serious thoughts. And I actually shared this today. And the students found some of these kind of intriguing and even powerful. So I thought I'd share them with you, and then we're going to get into our message tonight. But did you know that someone out there once was fond of you and never told you? Think about that. Somebody once found you or had a fondness for you. It could have been a smile in passing. It could have just been a brief meeting, and they never told you. It's a pretty deep thought if you think about it. Did you know that a stranger noticed you and smiled, and you just didn't see it? It's true. How about this? Someone still remembers something kind you did years ago. I think about that, some of the things that people have done for me through the years. Here's one. You've been the reason someone didn't give up. It's pretty good. Your name has come up in conversations you'll never hear. Now I hope and pray that they're good conversations. Did you know that someone defended you when you weren't in the room? I really like this one, and most of the students did. I'm sure most of us have cell phones. There's someone who checks your messages, the messages you sent them, and smiles. I relate to that because I have personally myself some messages I've kept through the years. In fact, my friend Bubba's here, and I have a couple from him still in my phone. Every once in a while, when I'm down and gloomy, maybe just not feeling myself, I'll scroll through, I'll read one of those messages, and it'll usually put a smile on my face. And then my last one here, and we're going to get into the message, your life inspires people who never say a word. It's a pretty powerful thought right there. So I just thought I'd share that with you this evening. Normally when I speak, I have text passage, text message. I don't necessarily have a text passage tonight. There will be some scripture in here. I really prayed this whole week of what I would bring, what would be laid upon my heart to bring to you. And I was told by Pastor, in fact, Brother Dave said, I have all night, so I have 8 keys to knowing God's will for your life. 8 keys. But they won't really be that long, I promise you. You know, I like sometimes to reflect on some personal things in my life. And when I was younger, a younger individual, probably 18 to 20 years ago, so I'm 29 now, that puts me at about 9 years old, it seemed that I continually wrestled with knowing God's will for my life. Is there anybody out there like that? Always wrestling to know God's will for my life. You know, I wanted more than anything to follow his plan. This was especially evident after my first missions trip. I went to Iceland. It was a 2-week trip. Prior to that, I was just an old jarhead, ate my crayons, and minded my own business. I was going to church, Tucson Baptist. I would sit off to the side. I personally did not care if you came to talk to me, and I was certainly not going to go talk to you. And although sometimes I think I portray I'm not a very friendly individual now, at least that's what I've been told, I am much more friendly now than I was then. Amen. My first missions trip, wow, God worked on my heart. Have you never been on a missions trip? You need to go. And this was not even a trip to go spread the gospel. This was a trip to help a church there. They were remodeling their auditorium. And I had the perfect job because I wanted to be by myself. I am very much an individual. I love going home. And you all can stay at your homes and I'll be at my house. Amen? That's really how I am. I got my cows, my horses, my dogs, my cats, and my chickens. And then I have April. She can cook me dinner. Amen. And you know what? I do love when the grandkids come, because you know what? Their brother Mike, at about 8 o'clock, it's getting a little late. I can say, you know, it's kind of time for you to go home. I really am an individual. But so the job I had was to run wiring in the ceiling. I was running their wiring. I was just working up in the ceiling by myself. I did have one helper. I kept him downstairs below me, and he would laugh at me because working at the copper mines, I always had leather gloves, and I always had to have specs, so I found it very easy to take a Sharpie and write on the... I had white leather gloves, which does not work well in a copper mine, and I'd write all the specs on there, and then I'd throw my glove down to him, and I would expect him to read my handwriting and go get me what I needed to get. The missions trip did change my life. I sat in my room every night. I listened to Just As I Am. Over and over and over. In fact, the neighbors to me said, hey, you can find another ham. We would appreciate it. I love the book of Habakkuk, my favorite book in the Bible. I read it over and over and over. Here's a minor prophet that questioned God and received many answers and is thankful for his salvation, if you read the end of it. Yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. It's just a great book. And God worked on my heart, and I came back completely changed. I actually went and said hi to people. I think April almost fell over the first time I let a little old lady hug me, because I was not a hugger back in the day. Missions trip will change you. But then, you know, I wanted to follow his plan when I started teaching in the children's department. Now, here's a gruff old jarhead. The kids did appreciate the fact I always had crayons. But I remember Pastor Howard saying, hey there, Kevin, I want you to be a first grade Sunday school teacher. Now, folks, I'm telling you, I was pretty gruff. I was a copper miner. First grade? What? By the way, it's when I really learned that I loved children's ministry. Man, those children put a smile on your face no matter what. 1 year later, hey, Kevin, you know, our superintendent is retiring. I'd really like you to pray about being the primary department superintendent, K-4 through 6th grade. At that time in Tucson Baptist, we were running about 180 in the children's department, in that department alone. And I again looked at him and said, are you crazy? But I took it. After much prayer, by the way, I didn't accept that night. I went home and I prayed and prayed and prayed. Then you know what? They came to me and they said, hey, you're qualified to be a deacon at the church. Would you pray about being elected as a deacon? And then I graduated from Bible college. Now, this is an individual that my junior year, Golden High School, they said I attended a whole whopping 40 days my junior year. I would arrive at school, I would go to the bike rack, I would see what bike was unlocked, and I would borrow that bike for the day. I went all over Golden, Colorado. That's why I got big calves. I rode bicycles all over the place. Now, I never stole the bike. Brother Nick, you can't arrest me, okay? I took that bicycle back. I got back about 5 minutes before the final bell, and I'd put it back in the slot, and I'd get on the bus, and I'd go home. Now, why the high school did not call my parents until right about 3 weeks until till summertime, they finally called and said, hey, by the way, your son has not been in school but about 40 days. By the way, that's when they shipped me off. My parents shipped me off. They said, you're going to live with your grandparents in the state of New York, Finger Lakes region. I met the most beautiful person in my life right there. Now, she was smart. I was a senior at the time. I don't know why they even put me as a senior, but they let me be a senior. I asked her out. She said, not a chance. She said, you're bad. You're a bad apple. I shared with the chapel one time that she did finally accept to go to prom with me. Now, her best friend was dating my best friend. My best friend would meet me in Auburn, New York at BOCES, and I was trying to go to trade school, but I couldn't break that habit of ditching, and here it is, prom. He picks me up. Now, you gotta realize, you gotta understand, how many fishermen do we have in here? The Finger Lakes are beautiful. The lake trout is magnificent. We're driving back to Moravia, New York. Oh, Mike, how about we just stop for just a few minutes? We'll just cast out a couple times. Well, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we got back to his house, 2, 3 in the morning, and realized that, well, we kind of missed prom. And she still married me. I was terrible at high school, but when I got into college, I tell you what, I have a very competitive side to me. And I'm very salty to this day that somebody edged me out at the very end for the top spot, beat me by about a 16th of a point. Very salty all these years later. Did very well there, but I always prayed for God's will on that. And it was after that that I decided to go start an RV park ministry. I prayed about that. We started an RV park ministry. Shortly after graduating from college, we sold a lot of our possessions. We put our house up for rent. We moved into an RV with our daughter, Jenna, and I started an RV park ministry, and it was growing until one day I got basically a knock at the door. Hey, the atheist about 3 doors down from the clubhouse has said that they do not want your church happening at the clubhouse. And I said, well, we're paying rent here too. But I prayed about God's will on that. I prayed about being called to pastor at Community Baptist Church here, there in Divine. And interestingly, now that I'm older, I'm currently 56 years young, I'm fulfilling a role as the school administrator and assistant pastor here at Town East. But I will tell you that when Pastor Riggs asked me to come on staff, it was months of praying for God's will to make sure that was the right thing to do. We didn't just all of a sudden talk on the phone. And in fact, I have dear friends that were at Community Baptist with me that knows that it wasn't that we talked on the phone and I just accepted it right off the bat. It was months. In fact, I didn't even say anything to a lot of people because I just did not know what was going on. And I have come to learn that this is not just something that a young person does. It's not something that they do early in life. It is a lifelong pursuit in order to stay in the exact center of His plan and to trust in it. So I have a question for you. How can we know God's plan for our lives? How can we know God's plan for our lives? Any thoughts real quick? Prayer? What else? Scriptures. Other thoughts? We can speak in church. It's okay. You know, over the past 18 plus years that I've been in ministry, it's not a real long time, but it is quite a bit of time. And over the past 18 plus years that I've been in ministry, I've discovered 8 vital keys to knowing God's will and plan for your life. So I'm going to give them to you here quickly so we can get to our prayer meeting. 1, walk with God. Walk with God. For starters, if you are interested in knowing God's plan for your life, then you must learn to walk with God. Folks, I would think that here being at Townies Baptist Church, we would understand and realize this, that we do not have a religion, we have a relationship. You must cultivate your relationship with God. You must seek to know him and not just seek to know about him. There is a difference in the two. You will cultivate that relationship best by spending time in this precious book right here, by spending time in his word. I love this book. By taking time, I heard it a bit ago, for prayer. By taking every opportunity you can to be involved in church. And even in small group Bible study opportunities. Take the time for those devotions. When you seek these disciplines in your life, and by the way, that is a discipline. When you seek these disciplines in your life, God will begin the first steps to revealing his plan to you. Take a moment, turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Give me an amen when you're there. I like to know when people are there. Proverbs 3. We got one there at least. Hey, we got two. Y'all probably know this. Probably don't even have to turn there. Drop down to verse 5 and 6. And what's it say there on those pages? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. By the way, it doesn't say trust in the Lord with half my heart. It doesn't say trust in the Lord with a quarter of my heart, with an eighth of my heart. What's it say there, Brother Nick? It says trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. By the way, you're not to lean on your own understanding. You're to lean on what? On God's. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Number 2 here, surrender your will to God. Surrender your will to God. Many times when we say we are seeking God's will, what we are really wanting to say to God is this. This is kind of what we want to say. Okay, God, here's what I am planning to do. Now I need you to rubber stamp this, all right? We don't really say, hey, God, what do you want me to do? Please send me wherever you want me to. We say, hey, no, I want to do A, B, or C. Will you please give me permission to do it? We really need to say, hey, what do you want me to do? And then do what he wants you to do. I'm 100% sure that God called me to Townies Christian School and Townies Baptist Church. When I went to Community Baptist Church, I was 100% sure that God called me there. It was after much prayer. I will tell you, the moment I stepped off the airplane in San Antonio, I called April and I said, you know what? God is calling me to Texas. Call me to San Antonio. I knew. I didn't go back, though, and then just sit on my heels and wait. I took action, and I did what he directed me to do. And it wasn't my plan, it was his plan. I must tell you that this is not really effective in finding his true will when you want him to rubber stamp all the things that you want to do. Before God will begin to reveal his will to you, you must be committed to doing whatever it is that he desires for you to do. You have to be committed in doing whatever he desires you to do. And you know what? God sometimes puts us through stuff that we just don't want to do. I think God has a sense of humor. I served many years in children's ministry, I thought, man, God, you've sent me to pastor a church. You've taken me out of children's ministry. Look where God's put me back. I'm back in children's ministry. So I think he kind of has a sense of humor. Now, I will tell you that I was seeking another church to pastor. I was still candidating at another church, a rather large church back in Arizona. And God shut that door. I could have kept trying to push the issue, but when God shut that door, I told Miss April, I said, God has shut that door. Let's continue to pray what he wants us to do. And I kept telling Pastor Riggs, I just don't know. I just don't think so. Well, I'm here. Year two. God will likely be slow to show you his plan. He's not going to do it quickly, folks. If he knows you, you will likely not do the plan anyways. He's probably going to slow it down even more. Romans chapter 12. We can go there quickly. Romans chapter 12, please. Verses 1 and 2. Amen when you're there, please. Word of God, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Who's he talking to? He's talking to us Christians. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. What's those last three words? Will of God. You know, Jesus was willing to die for us. He was willing to die for us, so shouldn't we be willing to live for him? When we surrender to him, that is when he really begins to direct our steps. Third here tonight, obey what you already know to be God's will. Obey what you already know to be God's will. Many people seem to want to know what God's plan is for their lives. Many people want to know. But they overlook the fact that 98% of his will is already defined carefully through his word. Let's get that again. 98% of his will is defined right here, folks. That only leaves 2% out there. I said this to a chapel, I think, last week. Don't be one of those Christians that comes to church Sunday morning, exits out, goes to our car, takes the word of God, and just throws it in the back seat until the next week. I did a home visit a little while ago. I walked in, somebody I know, they professed Christian, and I was in their house, and so, you know, you tend to look around, and on the table there was a Bible. It had about 3 inches of dust on it. You think they read their Bible very often? Now, it might be just a display Bible. His word defines his will. God is very clear about many, many aspects of his will. For instance, it is clearly his plan that we remove ourselves from sin. Don't you think that? We are to remove ourselves from sin. For example, the sin of pride. Listen to Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, if we do not obey the things that God has shown us clearly to be his will, then why would we think he would reveal any further information? Any further information regarding his plan for our lives? Folks, obedience is an important first step. 4, seek godly input. One key component to finding God's will is to seek the input of godly advisors in your life. I'm fortunate I pray that you are. I have Pastor Riggs. I have Pastor Armstrong. I have Pastor Howard. Pastoring for so many years in Divine, Texas, I have the pastor's group. I have all kinds. But you know what? I have Brother Lemoy at the school. I have Brother Nick that's here. I have Brother Stokes. I have all kinds of people that I got Brother JD. I have all kinds of people that can give me godly advisement. Look, I'm flesh. I'm human. Sometimes I need it. You really could use somebody to give you some godly advisement as well. I try to keep on hand 3 or 4 godly individuals as mentors. But I also try to keep them as my accountability partner. Kyle and I had to meet Sunday evening for a little bit. And in my office, I went ahead and said, hey, you know what? Why don't I go ahead and just go over some things here in the office? So just in case, didn't I, Kyle? It's just good to have that accountability, but also I can lean on Kyle. I can lean on some. I try to keep those godly mentors in my life, and you need to too. And I highly recommend that you seek them out, not tomorrow, not next week or next month. You should seek them out right away. I remember when April and I would go buy a car years past. You think we would pray about going and buying a car? Now, that's all we do. We pray a long time. We bought this used truck out there, but we didn't just go rush to buy the truck. We prayed and prayed and prayed. And then we talked to some other people. We got some input over a simple truck purchase. You know, I utilize this advice in my own personal life by seeking counsel from a group of godly men. I just said it. Most of them are right from our community. And think of it this way. You should understand that you are basically a composite of those people, those 5 or 6 people you spend the most time with. If you spend your time with worldly people, you are going to act worldly. It's the way it is. Oh, I go to church. Well, I know plenty of Christians that act worldly. They act pretty good in church on Sunday morning. One topic over and over came out of chapel today. If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. And if you hang out with godly people, guess what? You tend to start portraying godly traits. It is vital that you choose those 5 or 6 people well. If you choose to, I already went over that, but if you surround yourself with people who are far from God, I'm telling you, your hope of finding his best for your life will be greatly diminished. You know, Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, the church is designed to help you greatly with this. And I would encourage you to, and I know this is the midweek service. I understand that most of you here are here regularly. But I would still encourage you to be in church every single time the doors are open. I got some traveling coming up, but I can guarantee you this one thing. I will be in church wherever I'm located at. That's midweek service, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. That's just how I feel. And I encourage you to do that. The more you involve yourself with the community of believers, the greater your chances will be of finding godly men or godly women who can help you discern God's will. 5, pay attention to how God has wired you. Pay attention to how God has wired you. God has created you to fulfill a specific role in this world. There is no one else who can achieve completely what God has purposely created you to do. The Apostle Peter gave us this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has gifted every one of us to perform a special mission for which we alone were created. I mean, how amazing is that?
Number
five is pay attention to how God has wired you. Yep. When you seek to discover God's will for your life, pay attention to how he has gifted you. We know that everybody has different gifts. Not everybody's going to have the gift of tongue, of speaking. Not everybody's going to have the same gifts. But I'm telling you, if you're here as a believer, you have a gift. So why not use it? Use it for God and in his will. His plan for you will always be directly related to the gifts that he has bestowed upon you. And the great news is you will automatically be good at whatever it is that he has called you to do. I know we get shy, I know we get tentative, but you will be good at whatever he calls you to do. But you got to go out and do it. Number six, listen to God's Spirit. Listen to God's Spirit. You know, I experienced a major turning point in my own prayer life when I learned simply to shut up while I was praying. I really did. And that may sound odd to you, and it seemed odd to me at first. But you see, I used to do all the talking when I prayed to God. I did all the talking. I didn't shut up. But then, and this is many years ago, I decided to add a significant component to my prayer life. And you know what that was? That was listening. By the way, God gave us two ears and one mouth. And we are to listen to God just as much as we are to speak to God. When you're in a friendship, don't you mutually communicate? You generally don't just do all the talking while your friend sits there and does all the listening. By the way, God is my friend. I take time to listen to what God might have to say to me. And a practical way to go about this is you know, I like to bring a notepad with me when I sit down, when I have that opportunity to sit down and pray. And then sometimes right at the top of several pages, things like this. What is the next step in my career? What is the next step in my ministry? What is the next step for my family or for my marriage? What is the next step in my education? What is the next step in my finances? And here's what I do during that prayer time. I meditate on questions such as those that I just mentioned. I meditate on them. By the way, when I meditate, I don't just sit there nonstop talking. I take some time to listen. And you may begin writing as fast as you can, because when he starts speaking to your heart, I'm going to tell you what, it'll flow, it'll come. It's amazing how many times I've written a question and I've just kind of listened to what God has to speak to me, and I just start writing notes. Just start writing things. What a glorious experience that is. To sense his Spirit on you, guiding your thoughts and words. And I get chills throughout my body each and every time that I sense his Spirit working within me. I know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. I don't know about you, but I know when he's speaking to me. I get chills down my spine. I do. I just get chills. I know when he's speaking to me. I long for those experiences when he speaks to me like that. Those times are truly life-changing. You know, Jesus said there in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Seven, you should listen to your heart. You know, in addition to listening to the Spirit, I also recommend listening to your heart. And to understand my point here, consider the following passage from Psalm 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I love that passage. I love it because it shows me that when I am walking with the Lord, he will actually let me do many exciting things that I actually love to do. And when you are close to him, he actually begins to shape your desires so that you desire the things that he has already called you to do. His plan actually becomes a super exciting adventure. I don't know about you, but I always have the most fun in life when I am doing God's will. I always have the most fun. And that is because he shapes my wanter to want to do the things for which he has actually created me to do. Then finally, number 8, take a look at your circumstances. God often clearly demonstrates his plan for our lives by lining up circumstances in obvious ways. And he also shows us what his will is not for us to do things in that same way. He does the same for the nots as he does for the do's. It is not his will for you to take the job that is not offered to you. You know, if you are 5'7" tall and weigh 125 pounds like me, it is not likely that God has created you to play professional football. By the way, I did used to weigh 140. Long time ago. Over the years, I have discovered that God is extremely proficient at opening and closing doors. Extremely proficient at doing that. He even did that for the Apostle Paul in Acts there, and we won't go there, but Acts chapter 16, you can read it later, verses 6 through 10. Even Paul had to face closed doors in his ministry. By the way, I will remind you, God will close doors on you. I've experienced it firsthand. I think my dear friend here has experienced it firsthand. He will shut the door. And sometimes he doesn't close it gently. He slams it. But God often uses closed doors to show us clearly what he does not want us to do. And he also uses open doors at times to show us what he does want us to do. Yeah, you know, I'll be 100% truthful. I personally, don't take it wrong because it's 2 years into it, but I personally did not want to come to Town East. I did not think that was God's plan for me. I wanted to go pastor this big church in Arizona, and I thought for sure that's where he was leading me to go. I did not want to come, but you know what? It just kept cycling back, and I kept praying. Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, April did not want to go back to Arizona. You can ask her. She did not. By the way, she really loves Texas. So do I, but I thought for sure he was going to call me back there. But he slammed. He didn't gently shut that door. He slammed it shut. But you know what door kept remaining open? Right here. And I'm so thankful to be here. I love Town East. I love you all. I love the kids. I told them today I'm gonna sure miss them over the summer. So, of course, this does not mean that every open door is definitely God's plan, but it does help to give you some basic direction. So a closing thought. The next time you begin to ponder God's plan for your life, I really would encourage you to mull over the above 8 keys or the 8 keys that I passed along tonight. Use those principles to help you to home in on his plan. Focus on doing his plan, not your plan. And when you seek his will earnestly, if you seek his will earnestly, you will find it. I do appreciate your attention tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We may or may not have some music, but I'm pretty much done speaking. We're just gonna go ahead and have a time of invitation. We had 8 keys to knowing God's will for your life. I'm gonna ask that you stand, and we are gonna open the altar. Maybe it's a time for you to have a moment on bended knee. Maybe it's a time for you to come forward and think or to ponder the keys that we've had or we've heard tonight. Go ahead and stand. And please, the altar is open. This is the holiest place in the church. Won't you come and have a few moments? Think about those 8 keys. Think about your walk with God. Think about if you have surrendered your will to him. Think about whether you have obeyed what he has already shown you, if you've obeyed him, if you've had the obedience, if you sought his input and godly input from others. Pay attention to how he has wired you. Listen to his spirit. Listen to your heart. And then take a look at your circumstances. The altar is open. Won't you come?